Hey! Welcome back, everybody, to Bad Film Game. We've got a gremlin in the back today.
I'm doing the guy.
It's the Aykroyd. It's the Aykroyd gremlin. So welcome to Bad Film Good, everybody. The show where we look at awfully rated gremlins and we ask the question: is this bad film good? My name is Declan,
and I'm Dan Aykroyd.
Nice. For some reason, I thought you were going to do the "I'm dum no minute." We're just talking about this.
Yeah, I've been doing that off pod a lot.
Don't know if that's like a good enough impression for people to know what the meme I'm referencing, or whether it just sounds like I'm making weird noises.
No,
I'm
in.
Doesn't matter.
They know what it means.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this week we will be looking at the highest grossing movie of all time, Dan Aykroyd's very own Nothing But Trouble.
Hell yeah.
His first and only directorial.
Yeah. He made this and they were like, you're not allowed to do another.
No, they said you peaked. You peaked and then that's it. If you make any other film, it would be a disservice to yourself. Quit while you're ahead, Dan Aykroyd, and go and sell your vodka. But before we get into the antics today, Aidan, why don't you tell us what is Nothing But Shrekking this week?
Oh, that was good.
Yeah, that's right.
So I had another Shrek article prepared, but then something has sprung hot off the press. This is fucking urgent news. Everyone stop what they are doing. Because you may
stop the podcast.
Stop
recording.
Stop. Yeah. Goodbye.
That's it. He's going to tell me offline.
Yeah. Imagine if he did. Just uploaded this. But yeah. So
bye.
Bye.
Yeah. All right. The bit's done. Carry on.
Yeah. Thanks. So this is an article from Complex. Are you sat down? I know you are anyway, but Shrek is getting his own Crocs collab.
Oh my god.
It's finally happening.
Are they going to be called Scrocs?
They has to be. There's no confirmation yet. But
are they going to have the ears on them?
Yes. But hot on the heels of its viral Lightning McQueen release, we are now learning that Crocs has yet another movie-themed makeup of its ubiquitous classic clog on the way. For its upcoming project, the footwear company has joined forces with the animation studio DreamWorks to create the Shrek Croc Classic Clog, shown here. I will describe the Shrock to you. It's green, of course. You know those little plug things that they put in the fucking holes?
Oh, sure. Them holes.
Plugging them. Yeah. You know.
Now, Aidan.
It's got both ears and his nose. Let me send you a picture of this. And
just like, not his eyes.
Not his eyes. Not his arse either, which is kind of disappointing. Yeah, I'll send you a picture of this. But,
all right.
It's, not only that, it's got a fucking furry, Shrock spoiler. You know, like the strap at the back? It's just fleece lined, brown. I guess for his like shirt or whatever the fuck he wears.
That's kind of just his color scheme, right?
It's his color scheme.
Green and brown.
Green and brown.
Green and brown.
It's fucking gorgeous. Will be pre-ordering these.
Gonna get your very own Shrocks.
Yeah. The silhouette also features a fuzzy brown strap on the heel as a nod to Shrek's iconic brown vest, along with a special Oh, gibbets is what they call the little anal gibbets. Plugs. Yeah.
Right, right. Multi-use.
It's directly inspired by the aesthetic of Shrek. It features bright green color screen. Jesus Christ, I'm fucking dyslexic. The silhouette also features a fuzzy brown strap. I read that already. There are no official release dates available for Shrocks.
Right.
Shrocks.
I really think they have to be called Shrocks.
Shrocks. If they're not doing Shrocks, if they're not calling it Shrocks, then they've done something wrong, honestly.
Yeah.
That I had something different planned, and then this literally, someone sent this to me, an hour and a half ago? And I was
hot off the press.
Hot off the press.
Steaming.
Steaming pile of news off the press.
Brilliant.
But yeah, Shrocks, available soon. Get them. Now.
All right. Probably sooner by the time this comes out.
Yeah.
It is now, because it will come out in the future. To us, not to you.
Yep.
Cool. cool. Well, shrocking aside, this week, as I said up top, we will be looking at Nothing But Trouble, Dan Aykroyd's
Nothing But Trouble.
Piste de la Resistance. Ben, before we get into that, why don't you give us a few facts about this movie? Give us a little bit of background as to how it came to be the great success that it is.
So it was made in 1991. It's directed and written by Dan Aykroyd.
Damn.
It stars...
I'm assuming, did he produce it as well? I'm assuming he probably had a producer role on it, right?
I'll look shortly.
Because if he did, that's the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost.
Yeah. I'll check. But it stars...
Golden Trinity.
Chevy Chase, my personal hero. I will die on this hill of Chevy Chase.
You'll die.
Dan Aykroyd himself.
Yeah.
John Candy, Demi Moore, Valerie Bromfield, Taylor Negron, Bertilla Damas, Raymond J. Barry, and fucking Tupac.
Like, what?
Yeah,
honestly, there was a moment, we'll get into it, but there's the moment when you, like, see him properly.
And you're like...
I double took. And I was like, hang on. No, that's... I know that face. But that's... Am I being, like, silly? You know when you see somebody's face and you're like... I'm going to check who that is, because I feel like I'm being silly, and maybe I'm misunderstanding what my eyes are, like, telling you right now.
Yeah. But no, it was
Tupac.
Steve Buscemi and Daniel Baldwin. It has... It had a budget of... where's it gone? $40 million. It made...
Yeah.
Drum roll, please. $8 million.
Oh, wow. Brilliant. I love that.
It's got 5.1 out of 10 on IMDb, 12% on Rotten Tomatoes, and only 13 Metal Crickets liked it.
Damn. And as we always say, the Metal Crickets, they're normally...
Yeah, they're
always a little bit higher.
Yeah. But yeah, let's get into this...
Whatever this fucking... Yeah. Oh, I didn't even do my bit up top where I describe what it was.
Oh, yeah.
So we watched this on Amazon Prime, I believe, and it's the only place that would have it, that could afford to have it, I mean, of course. Which describes it as being, a businessman finds he and his friends the prisoners of a sadistic judge and his equally odd family in the backwoods of a bizarre mansion.
That seems way more...
Yeah.
Put together than this film.
yeah, pretty much.
It was fucking... Let's get into it.
Let's get into it.
As a side note, he's not noted as a producer, which is
God damn it. He still acts in it, so it's still a trilogy of some kind.
Yeah,
a trinity rather of some kind.
The Holy Trinity.
Yeah, so I think we right off the bat. I can't remember whether he's the first character we meet. Chevy Chase's.
Chevy Chase's, yeah.
Because, I tell you what, I didn't know he was in this film. All I knew about this film was that Aiden wanted to watch it because it was Dan Aykroyd's directorial debut.
Yeah.
And, of course, his only directed film. And so I didn't know Chevy Chase was in this. And what was hilarious is the fact that as he steps out of the car, the first fucking line that he says, he steps out and he goes to it's like the what would you call them? The guys chauffeur. Who like, for the hotel.
I know what you mean.
It's like a Del Boy kind of thing or whatever. Yeah. Bellboy, not Del Boy. So he steps out of the car and he goes, 110 blocks in under 15 minutes. Not bad for a one-eyed Russian immigrant. And I was like, ladies and gentlemen, it's Chevy Chase. Give a hand.
2 minutes and 20 seconds in.
2 minutes, 20 seconds into this fucking film. Brilliant. Thank you, Chevy Chase.
And
Aiden fully stood by that.
Yeah, I'll die this hill. I was like, yeah, get him. Get him, Chevy. And what's funny is, you might think, well, 2 minutes, 20 seconds in, at least, that's not like right at the start of the film. But for 2 minutes and 12 seconds, we get just scenes, shots of New York with the cast's name on it.
Love it.
So that is literally the first thing. Chevy Chase stepping out of a car and being a xenophobe. And I
love the idea.
Yes.
Sorry, go
ahead. I was just like, yes, my hero.
I love the idea that Dan Aykroyd was like, right, how do we start a movie? Well, we have to establish that we're in the United States of this America. So let's get some loads of shots of skyscrapers and buildings and stuff. That's how you start a movie, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And put my name all over
establishing shots before we get into the chaos. What's funny is that I don't have any notes up until a bit later into the film when things start going super weird.
Yeah, neither, because
like, everything's just kind of like, he's like a Wall Street kind of guy, right? He's got that kind of like, he seems like, because he's a financial advisor.
Yeah.
Something like that. And he's, you know, he's big money. He's living in a big fancy apartment, fucking swanky place, and hosting big parties for important people and big rich people and all this kind of stuff. And he meets this this woman who was sort of introduced to. She's a lawyer, and there's like, they add little bits of things in which aren't really like, I guess to try and flesh the people out, but there's not really any point in it because you never come back to it. They don't prime anything like that. So you find out that she's a lawyer to some guy who's going ahead with this deal that he didn't tell her about, and she's mad. And it turns out that they were together. And so there's personal history and blah, 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 blah. And so she needs to go to, what was it they were heading? Is it Atlanta?
Atlantic City.
Atlantic City, yeah. So that's, that was like a whole thing. And that's kind of the whole kind of kickstart reason as to why they're, why they all get in the car together. So they all have to, they're all taking a car journey down to Atlantic City. Chevy Chase, who's basically just met this woman, like bumped into her in an elevator and is just like, yeah, I'll just drive you there because I don't know, I'm rich, I don't have anything to do.
She was like, it was so weird because she's like, oh, don't worry, I'll take your car and drive. And I was like, who are these fucking people?
Yeah, like, it felt like one of those weird things where it's like, oh, you're both like wealthy neighbors in the 90s. And so they're just like, hey, borrow my car. I don't give a fuck. I'll get another one.
Yeah, it was fucking weird. It's so odd. And then, like, because I was like, he's kind of like, no, I'll drive. Like, I don't want you to take my car. But so I was like, okay, it's just her being weird. But then no.
Yeah.
Because later on, it's like, he's like, oh, I can't be fucked, actually. He's saying to the bellboy or whatever. He's like, yeah, I can't be fucked. So when she comes down, just give her the keys and let her drive because I'm not bothered. And I was like, oh, no, okay. No, you. Everyone in this is just fucking wilded.
It's it's just weird. And also, like, I don't understand why he was suddenly, because we kind of, it's like the previous night when they're talking and they say that they're going to meet at noon and you're introduced to this Brazilian couple that are rich, as he calls them, Brazilianaires.
Yeah.
And,
brilliant.
Yeah. And then they are literally, it's one of those things which is like such a weird conversation. And if I was there, I don't know whether it's the whole thing supposed to be that he's just trying to like appease them because he is their financial advisor or something.
I think so.
About him being fired later on. But they're literally, he's just like, okay, talking to this woman, he's like, yeah, okay, like I can take you there, we can go tomorrow. And then these other two people are like, oh, we're getting in the car, we're going somewhere. And he's like, I'd be like, what? No, I was having a conversation. Like, you don't, what? Why? Yeah. What are you doing? No, you don't, you want to get in the car with me? Why?
Why does he want to go? Why is anyone going anywhere? It's so vague.
It's just he's just like, right, I'll take you to this, to Atlantic City so you can shout at this guy. And then the Brazilian couple, who are like, they're all super kind of kooky crazy all over the place, very eccentric, kind of like super rich, out of touch kind of people. So they're like, oh, we're coming along. And they do end up coming along. But I don't understand why that next day, because he said they'd meet at noon. So you kind of cut and immediately you're like, okay, this is the next day. Is he just supposed to be like hungover because he's got sunglasses on?
I guess so.
Because he's just like, oh, man, oh, I don't feel well. Just, or tell her I don't feel well. I can't be bothered to do this. Just give her the car. And then she appears and she's like dressed up. And he's like, give her the damn keys and I'll drive myself. Oh, yeah. Immediately just,
that's so stupid.
You know, it's just the dumb kind of like, haha, give me the keys, man. And then in front of her, while she's looking at them, the attendant guy like sprays his own mouth with a breath spray thing, whatever you call it, breath freshener.
Yeah.
And then also sprays and like leans over to Chevy and sprays his mouth as well. It's just such a stupid like thing.
That was like one of the very few visual gags that you're like, that was good.
Yeah. It's just like, it's just silly because it's, you kind of see it coming as well because he's like, oh, I don't want to do it. And then she turns up and is like, and he's like, hubba, hubba. Yeah, I'll drive the car. A wooka. So they're all in the car and they're driving to Atlantic City. And for some reason, as they pass through the city and this cop car starts trying to flag them down for going through a stop sign. For some reason, they're just like, hey, lose the car and floor it.
Yeah, the fuck was that?
Because, again, I guess... thing is, I was like, okay, these people are super out of touch. I kind of believe the Brazilian couple who are just so... Because they're just constantly, they're like the most annoying people. They're like, pull the car over here. I want to have a picnic. Oh, this road's boring. And I'm like, what do you mean the road's boring? You're in America. If you're not flying somewhere and you're going on a fucking drive between like states, you got to get used to the fucking road. Like, what are you talking about?
So stupid.
It's, you know, it's whatever. And they're getting chased by this car. All of this is just kind of, it's still a fair chunk. It's like a good 20, almost 30 minutes, I think. Because it's still a good chunk of time.
Yeah, because
up
you're
until
like,
this point.
What the fuck? Like, what's this film about? Like, nothing's happened.
Yeah, like, well, I kind of, because I was like, okay, they're going to get stuck at some mansion or something. So I was like, you know, clearly this is starting to go somewhere, but it does take a bit of a, it's just, yeah. It's weird that it sets all this other stuff up, but then it's like, that's just the reason they got in the car. Cool. They're just driving. And then they kind of have this crazy chase through this little village, and then they get cornered by the cops and whatever. And it's kind of from this point onwards, like as soon as you get to the city, the village, that it starts getting a little kooky crazy. I quite like that because you have this separation between like the normal fucking America, you know, suits and fucking skyscrapers and Wall Street and whatever, like his side of life where it's all like grounded and that kind of thing. And as soon as you get into this village, you start getting more and more of things where you're just like, what the fuck is that? That's just weird. And then it just goes to absolute fucking shit. But yeah, so they're pulled in to see, what do they call him? The Reeve?
Judge?
Something like that?
Or something?
Oh, he's the judge, but then he's like
he's got a name, Reeve or something as well. Yeah.
Who is played by the one and only, yours truly, Dan Aykroyd. And I understood, I feel like once I saw his character, I understood the movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was like, I understand why, like, he's made this, and he's playing this character, and I kind of felt like he was trying to create a, you know, an iconic character, make like a cult hit film with this iconic kind of crazy character that's, you know, off the wall, and he looks all strange and all this kind of stuff, which obviously, I mean, didn't really happen. But I think the moment for me that really sold it is it's kind of presented. He's the judge. It's presented like a little mini courtroom, but you have this whole weird kind of show where like the bench that he would be sat at, like the kind of the little podium stuff. It's like, it looks like a wall, and then it like the bottom bit pushes out and the top bit kind of cranks upwards or something. And then he raises up from the ground and he's in this chair that's jolting around everywhere. And there's books and shit everywhere. And it's like, it looks just nuts.
It's wild.
And the bit that sold it for me, I think, is when they said something, I don't remember what it was, to him. About like, you know, oh, we were just like speeding. Like, can you just send us on our way? Yeah. And he just starts going, aha, ha, 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 hula, 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 hula. And I was like, what?
Yes.
Aiden sent me a text after this film. A message that was just like, I wish I could have seen your face in this movie.
I could just see you being like, what? Because it's just so fucking wild, man. It's just so out of pocket. Just like, it's so, there's no reason, like the first normality of the film, you're just like, this is so shit. Like, this is such fat. Poor writing, because it's just them. It's just like, we need to have them get to the thing. So let's just faff about for like 20 minutes until they actually get to this wild shit. And then they get to the wild shit, and you're just like, what? Like, it's just, it keeps one-upping itself.
Yeah.
I'm like, how fucking wild it needs to be. Like, they go into this guy's house, and at this point, there's just, like, shit about. He's, like, a hoarder for weird, crazy stuff. And like you said, he's like...
Yeah.
It's like a fucking, like I don't
it's
know.
It's a madhouse.
Like madhouse.
It's like a weird funhouse kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so weird.
He... After all of this, and then they're like back chatting him in the courtroom and all this bullshit, and he kind of asks what they do, and even though Chevy Chase says he's like a financial advisor or something, he's like, you're a banker, aren't you? And he's like, no, I'm not a banker. I do this job. And he's like, I hate bankers. And then he like presses a button, because he's got loads of buttons on his piano or whatever, presses one that just trapdoors them and they all fall into a pit of squeaky toys or something?
Yeah.
Something weird?
I think, yeah. I mean, it's just there's so many weird, it's just visually disgusting. This crack house.
It was kind of like this film at parts felt like Saw, but with style.
But that's the thing. I still don't know. I don't know what this film's meant to be. Like, what?
I don't know that it's meant to be anything. I would not have been surprised if at the end of this film, Dan Aykroyd takes off his fucking prosthetics and then says, "Crystal Head Vodka." And it was just one big ad. Because it's fucking all over the place.
Yeah, because at some point you're like, this is meant to be, like, this is unsettling. Like, it's yeah. just, but is it meant to be like a comedy horror? Like, but it's not very funny. But John Candy yeah. and Chevy Chase are here, so I know it's trying to be funny, but, like, what the fuck is this
What thing? The fuck? Yeah, yeah. yeah. It's because just... I think one, after they've been trapdoored and they're, like, stuck down there, and then we see another group of people, which is weird because you'd almost think that they would, like, start with this or something. Like, it's weird to put it in after you've already established everything. So... you then have another group of people who are, I heard you fucking clipping your fucking nails. You promised! You promised!
No. It
wasn't Before that. We started it recording, was it was like, no, don't worry. I promise I won't do it while we're recording. let me just take this knife out of my back. There we go. That's for you.
Woo! That was a rush.
It's too warm for this. Fuck me, I'm sweating. I'm clammy in this room.
Yeah, got the windows closed. Jesus.
Yeah, bloody kids screaming outside. Anyway, so we've got this other group of people who are... It's so funny because they're just like, right, this group of people have to represent the worst that you could have coming into this town. Because the idea is that, like, when they pulled over bloody Chevy Chase's group, none of them had been doing any drugs or they hadn't been drunk not drunk, not high, anything like that. So then he's like, nothing wrong with them, but this guy's a banker, so fuck them.
Yeah.
So he was kind of, you know, he put them down the trapdoor. Whereas this other group that come in they are high off their tits, they're drunk, all of this kind of stuff, and then they're like kind of taking the mick out of Dan Aykroyd's what did we say he was? The judge,
yeah.
And all this kind of stuff. So then he's like, alright, presses a different button and a fucking conveyor belt pulls them along and out this door to the side. One thing I do love about how crazy this film is that everything is just like this crazy practical contraption. Like, this whole place is cobbled together with Scooby-Doo-esque fucking kind of things. So you've got a trapdoor, you've got a little conveyor belt and a roller coaster and all sorts of weird shit. And it's just so... it has like a vibe to it, I think.
Yeah, but I was just like, well, where the fuck did he get any of this shit?
Like, he just built it.
It's just fucking... yeah. There's no point to this story or anything.
If the Thornberries can fix... can patch up a hole in the in the fucking boat thing from the last episode, then this guy can rig up some conveyor belts.
All right. I'll let it slide.
But, I mean, the conveyor belt really isn't much of the issue. It's the fucking bone stripper.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what? And they make it like a thing. Because all these people get dumped onto this roller coaster. And you get this music that's like, wow, 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 wow. And it's like, bone stripper! And then they're going along this roller coaster. And the guy's got like a fucking, what's it called? Is it? No, intercom, or is it the, is that the right term for the thing?
Yeah,
intercom,
he's got like an, the, yeah.
Is it intercom? But he's got one of these, you know, he picks it up and he speaks into it and it comes out in the speakers where they are. And he's like, you're going to enjoy the ride. It's going to be the last one you're ever going to have. Ah, the boat tripper. Weather. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And it's like this, this high octane, this flames coming out of this machine. And it's like, yeah. And they just get dumped off of the roller coaster onto another conveyor belt. Which I love the idea that they could have just had one conveyor belt directly to another, but they put a roller coaster in between them. Into just this machine that's like kind of got metal bits that are like pulverizing and chains that are whipping around and stuff. And they all just file in one by one on the conveyor belt. Just
yeah, they're
slide
like,
right in.
Yeah, no attempt to get away or anything.
Yeah. And then their bones just get spit out the end. And it's like, bone stripper! but I mean, wild. Now, they never say anything about it. It's never explicitly mentioned, I'm pretty sure. But 100%, they're eating those people, right? They're eating the meat off of those people.
Oh,
because he brings
yeah.
out the sausages later.
Yeah,
and they look fucking gross. And then he has the, what does he call it? I can't remember what flavored drink he calls it.
Cool.
But they pour it. Fruit and juice. It's red.
Right.
It's some sort of fruit juice thing. And I was like, is that just blood? I was waiting for one of them to drink it and be like, what the fuck is this? This is like blood.
Ah, oh, right. I kind of missed that. I was like, yeah, he's just eating a weird sausage.
Yeah. so I mean, we get to that in a bit. but yeah, so it was the roller coaster bit where I was like, this is like Saw, but with style, because it was just the most ridiculous. I was like, what is going on right now? It's like, because they only, I mean, they use it that once, and then I think they have like a, they kind of go to use it again then later, but I thought it was, they were going to have loads of other like crazy ways that they were going to kill some people and stuff. I thought that was kind of the idea, but he just has this like bone stripper thing set up as his like, oh yeah, you just chuck him in the bone stripper and I invested loads of money into this for this purpose. That's it. The bones just get dumped out the back. What happens after that? It doesn't matter. There's a target on the wall for hitting. That's fine. And there's a part. There's a, literally like a mound of people's bones as well. So you obviously get the idea that he's done this a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
And then yeah, I mean you get introduced to like some other characters. That's when they have the dinner after that, I think, because you're introduced to his granddaughter, so the judge's granddaughter, who is just, what was the other actor? John something? What was his name? The other actor, the policeman.
John Candy.
I heard that.
What? No, that was the mouth. That was the mouth.
Was that the mouth? Yeah. Oh my God, it's clipping.
It's clipping. It's clipping. Somebody stop him.
What was it, John Candy?
Yeah, John Candy.
Yeah, so he plays the granddaughter as well, the woman.
Yes.
Right? And which is kind of funny because he plays her mute so that obviously he doesn't speak yeah. and you hear the voice. So, but it just kind of seems, the whole feel of everything is just so weird. And she's just like,
yeah.
And she like has a crush on bloody Chevy Chase or whatever,
like me.
Yeah, just like you. And they have the whole hot dogs thing, and then
oh my
Dan
god,
Aykroyd,
we need to
like,
talk about the hot dogs thing.
He's stuffing this fucking hot dog in his face, and it's so gross.
Okay, but also, did you notice that, like, so he looks fucking gross, but in some yeah. close-ups, and it's not oh. all,
yeah, I know
but
what you're
just
saying. Yep.
some,
yeah.
They've turned his nose into like a cock. It's like
yeah, so
like a fully fully circumcised,
literally
penis.
A bell end.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a I have a note that says, "Wait, his nose was a literal bell end.
Yeah, and it's just like, and it
what the fuck?
It's not the whole time. It's just right? sometimes, like, because then I'm that. Looking at every time I'm looking at him, I'm like, no, but it's just like,
it's just normal
a nose.
Well, I mean, not normal.
Yeah, it's just a fucked up looking nose. But yeah. You're just like, no, it's just a nose. And then it'll be like another weird close up. You're like, no, it's just a nose there. And then later on in the film, there's another close up where you're like, ah, there it is again. There it is again.
Yeah, because that first time at the dinner table, it just has like a focused shot on him.
Yeah.
Where you're like, his nose is our bell end. Yeah. And then it cuts to the reaction shot of Chevy Chase, very clearly having looked at him and been like, huh? Why does this nose look like a bell end? Like, yeah. you can see it on his face. And you're like, what the fuck is this? Where did this come from? Which made me think that, like, I didn't know what to expect, obviously, out of the rest of the film. I didn't know if it's going to be a supernaturally kind of thing or whatever. Because yeah, then when I saw that, I was like, okay, he's playing with him. He's, like, deliberately doing weird shit and somehow has made his nose look like a penis. I don't understand.
It's just fucking wild, honestly. Yeah. It's so out of pocket. This whole film. It's just like... Yeah.
It just... Yeah, every time you think you know maybe where the film is going, it just takes another hard left or a hard right and is just like, nope, we're doing this now. And you're like, what the fuck? What do you mean we're doing this? Like, they all try to escape... At the dinner table, the Brazilian couple actually managed to escape. And what's kind of funny is that you literally just don't see them again until the end.
Yeah, well, they come across John Candy, cop John Candy.
Cop edition. Like,
cock edition, yeah.
No, yeah. No, that's like a road.
And he's like, aha, got ya. And they're like, please, let us go. Like, come with us
we
to
have
Brazil.
Money.
We have money. Come for a holiday. And he's like, okay. And then that's it. For the yeah. Literally until the very end of the film. Yeah. Like, that's it. So they're just away. So you're like, well, what was... Like, why were they there for the film?
Yeah. Just like, to make him drive fast so that they get caught.
But they didn't get caught for driving fast. They get caught for him driving through a stop sign.
Yeah.
So why but were then, they there?
I guess, like, if it was just the stop sign, it wouldn't have been a... They wouldn't have brought him over to the dude and whatever for, like, speed and shit. I don't know. It doesn't... Exactly. Like, why did they... Because they managed to... Like, he finds them and then they kind of tempt him by saying, like, oh, haven't you had a holiday and God knows how long and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, yeah. And then it cuts back to the other stuff after that. And I thought, all right, well, something else is going to... Because it seemed like the cop, who we do see briefly again, he's packing up his things, but I thought the cop was going to be like, right, this has gone too far, this is too much, I need to do something about this. He's now killing, like, you know, quote unquote innocent people, I guess, by whatever they determine them to be. But he just leaves. He's like, nah, I'm out. These guys got money, I'm gonna go and live in Brazil, thanks. That's like, you don't see them until the end, where you're like, what happened to them anyway? And they're just showing him, their new head of security, around their fucking huge villa in Brazil, their mansion fucking grounds. And then he's also now fucking the woman, who I thought was... So they must be siblings, right? I thought that they were...
Yeah, they're siblings.
I thought that they were... Oh, I forgot. I must have not realized.
Yeah, he does say... Oh, my sister, like, at one point. And I was like...
Okay, right. I thought that they were just together and both that weird.
But it was weird, though, because you're like, well... It, like, on reflection, you're like, well, why weren't they just together? Like...
Yeah. What? I mean, it kind of says a lot that I just assumed that and didn't question it at any point. You know?
Yeah, because they're very, like... They could easily... Yeah, they could easily be fucking. You know what I'm saying?
But yeah, so they're gone and just out of the picture. I thought they'd return, they didn't.
Nah.
And you sort of just have like a crazy like it was a bit that I quite enjoyed, where they're like Chevy Chase and the other lady, they're kind of going through the house. I don't remember what starts them on it, but they're trying to escape, but they're going through the house and it's all like traps and stuff, or like the corridor is slowly closing in on them, and then they escape into a side bit, but then they go down like a big slide that either spits them out into the garden, or just it spits her out into the garden, and I guess Chevy Chase goes a different way. He just ends up in a pile of bones somewhere in the house.
Yeah.
With a hole in the wall where he can just look at the guy, the judge, in his bedroom, and you're like, what? What is it supposed to just be like a dead end and people just die there because they can't get back up the slide? I don't understand. Why are there so many bones? And all the bones are like fucking leg bones. There's no other bones there. They were all just leg bones. It's super weird.
Oh, man. It's just such like a fucking... Yeah. It's just... I don't know what... They... Like, my notes fucking, yeah. Like... I just stopped making them. Because I was like, oh, I don't... what the fuck is going... Like, my last note is that fucking Tupac? Oh, my God, it's Tupac. And then I was like, I don't know what to fucking write now. Like, I don't know what else I can do.
Oh, no, I've got a few more. I've got a few more. Because there's a bit... So, Chevy Chase, he's watching the judge through, like, just this hole in the wall, like this small hole, which really isn't that small, then you'd probably notice him. But he just sees him, like, he takes his hair off. Because he's like super, this judge is supposed to be like super, super old. And I thought he was going to be some sort of like demonic fucking creature or something. I thought that there was something more supernatural at play. But he's just this massively old dude who takes off his hair. And then he takes off his fucking nose. His nose was a prosthetic. Yeah. And he has no nose. And it's just super weird.
Why?
And he just like, gets into bed.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't understand. So then Chevy Chase tries to escape, and then there's some weird stuff that happens, like, I can't remember what happens, but there's a bit where the, because he's looking through his stuff, and the judge wakes up, and he's like, what are you doing in my, looking through my stuff, in my room, oh, you son of a bitch, and before he escapes, Chevy Chase, like, looks for something to throw, grabs something off the wall, and throws it at him, and he throws, like, a stuffed, like, a taxidermied skunk, and yeah. Oh my god, it just made me laugh where he throws it at him, and then Dan Aykroyd kind of catches it in a fluster and then looks at him in like disgust, and he goes, my skunk. I was just like, Dan Aykroyd, sir, I salute you. You are doing this film with every turn is only improving on itself. What a genius line, my skunk. And yeah. it's just kind of like, again, one thing after another. The woman who went down the other bit of the slide and she goes outside, she like gets caught by these two massive like man baby things who are played by Dan Aykroyd and I don't actually remember who the other one is, because I don't think it's John.
No, it's not John Candy.
I'm not sure who the other one is. But they, he's just, these two giant, like, they're like the size of men, but they look like kind of baby men, super weird. They're like super fat, but in a kind of way where it's like prosthetics, so they're like jingling and jangling everywhere. Yeah. And then
they look put like her in a cage. Zorbaloff.
Yes, they do. Yeah. And they put her in a cage, and then they all just start playing cards, and they're like chill with each other. And she's like, they'll say something, and then she's like, "Oh, you!" And then they're like carry on playing cards, and I'm like, "Huh?" So she's just chill with it. Like, what the fuck is going on? I don't understand. And then they bring the fucking hip hop group in, who get pulled over and pulled into the town, and then just when you think it can't get any weirder or wilder, they have a whole fucking scene where the judge is like,
so you're a hip-hop group, you play music,
and he's like, yeah, we play music. And for some reason one of the guys has like a fake like nose and glasses.
That's Tupac.
On.
yeah
Was that Tupac?
Yeah, that was Tupac. Yeah.
I thought he was one of the other guys there.
No, that was
Tupac. Oh, I didn't recognize. Okay,
I can tell by the voice.
I guess that was just like a for the reveal after or something. Because he takes them off at some point.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, oh my god, it's Tupac!
Let's go, baby!
Let's go!
But yeah, so then he's like, okay, well, bring all the music. Bring all the musical instruments in here, set them up. So this would have taken some time. And then play and prove your musicians. Because he was like, were there any like drugs or anything in the car? And she's like, no. So then they just start playing and fucking having a jam session. And then Dan Aykroyd, it was kind of funny because you think, I kind of didn't expect it. But he pulls up the, I thought it was going to be like, oh, he's like just super racist. And he's like, I like your weird noises. I'll put you on the fucking, on the bone stripper. but he lifts up the kind of piano. What do you call it? You know, the casing that goes over there. It's like a casing or a drawer or a, what do you call it? Cover? The piano cover.
No. Yeah.
It's like.
It's like the little thing sure where you lift up and you... Yeah,
it's the thing that always hits people's fingers and they go, ah! he lifts that up and there's a row of buttons. That's where the row of buttons are that, like, you know, chucks people in the fucking... The bounce stripper! So he lifts that up and you think he's going to press a button, but he just starts playing the piano, but he's like fucking jazz, like, and like he's doing good. All these fucking things on there, and he's good. And then all of the, like this fucking hip hop band are like, damn, what? And they're like looking at him like, oh my God. And all the girls just like, I don't know how they got up there. They just walk away from those guys and go to him. And you just have this whole scene where he's fucking playing, like jamming on the piano. And all the girls are like stroking him and dancing around the piano and stuff, being like, oh yeah. And he's like, and you're like, what?
This?
Yeah. What is this now? Yeah. Just gone from fucking Saw to like Resident Evil 7 to whatever this is. Oh man, it just, you literally never know where it's going. It's so fucking weird. And then you're like, that's Tupac. He's here. Oh my God. You know the theories where it's like Tupac isn't actually dead or whatever?
Yeah.
It's like every person who's dead and they're like, well, they're not actually dead, they're this. Imagine if it was like Tupac isn't actually dead, he's at that fucking mansion just jamming to this day. Oh man. Oh, so fucking weird.
Oh, by the way, John DeVicis is the other fucked up baby thing. I don't know who that is, John DeVicis.
Sure.
But yeah, that's who
we'll go with it.
Yep.
It was Tupac.
He is known for Nothing But Trouble.
Nice.
Spike Like Us and Ghostbusters.
Oh.
Additional crew. Nice.
Okay. All right, cool. He must have just been like, they got along well and they had a laugh, so he's like, let's be some babies. All right, cool.
Or no one else would do that.
Oh,
Dan
yeah.
Aykroyd was like, and Chevy Chase, you're going to be the other baby. He's like, the fuck I'm not. he's like, oh shit, I'll call this guy that I worked on Ghostbusters with. You want to pretend to be a weird fucked up baby? Yes? Awesome.
He's like, this is my in.
Yeah.
Into acting. Yeah.
Oh, God.
But yeah, what I said earlier, though, I did get, like, mad Resident Evil 7 vibes from this.
Yeah!
Just the whole, the house and the fucked up family.
That's a great,
and, like, trying to escape the house and then being chased by them and stuff. And, like, it's all, like, a kind of parts of it are kind of industrially and... It's all this old, I mean, it's from like all the old mines and shit in this, which is something that the reason he hates bankers is because they basically came in and found that there was a lot of stuff to mine. So then they you know, they kind of strip the land bare. They trick them into agreeing to strip the land bare, like his great grandfather or whatever. And then obviously he's got nothing to show for it now except
coal fires, which are constantly
raging.
Great grandfather, because
he said it was like, oh, that's true. I don't think they thought about that.
But Dan Aykroyd like fought in the fucking World War One and was like saying how he was saying something about the Great Depression or something in like the 19.
He was
like
yeah.
19, like pre fucking 1900s. I don't know. He was saying some shit where you were like, well, how old is this guy meant to be then?
Like, yeah, he did. He said it was his grandfather, but who knows? I don't think they have an answer for it. But yeah, and then it just goes fucking crazy because they manage to escape. There's like a whole thing. They manage to escape and blow up this whole section of the kind of a, like estate, I guess you could say, of this guy. They manage to escape on a train, and then it literally is just like boom, 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 boom. They escape. Then suddenly they're talking to the police and explaining the situation, which I thought the police were going to be like, this is the biggest load of horse shit I've ever heard. Like, this was a good I don't believe you.
Yeah, it was a good out to be like, yep, that's the end of the film. Cool. Yeah. We don't need any more.
But then, I mean, it does make sense why, but then the police are just like, you fucking son of a bitch, we're going to go get him. Look, we're going to bring the whole force. Everybody, we got army trucks and we've got fucking loads of police officers and automatic rifles and all sorts of shit, and they all roll up and they're like, "All right, we got a search warrant, but you have to serve the warrant to them. So why don't you guys go up to the house?" And so they're like, "Yeah, sure." And they've got that thing that they give to people who are assisting with the police, and they've got like a little jacket that says police on it, and they're like, "Oh," and they're together now as well. Chevy Chase and the woman.
Yeah.
They're like, "Right, this is it. We're gonna catch this son of a bitch." Oh, the look on his face, and then he opens the door, and then he's like, "Who are you? I don't know you." And you kind of think
he's lying.
You kind of think that it's gonna be the you've seen it a bunch of times where they go there, and then suddenly there's no suspicious stuff, and the police are like, "You're wasting goddamn police time. I tell you what, we're gonna leave you here just for the sake of it," or whatever, and it's whatever. But he just turns around and he's like, "Oh, these are my boys." And they turn around and the entire fucking force are just like, "Hey, it's my guy. We're all on your side, actually, not theirs." So then you're like, "Oh, fuck, no, they're doing the other thing. Now they are fucked because the entire fucking police force is there and they're all I think the idea is that any kind of they look the other way of all the weird fucking insane shit that he does because he deals with the people they don't catch, like the ones who are speeding and drunk and high and all of this kind of stuff. It kind of there's this underlying thing of like they're getting rid of the like druggies and the drugs and things like that, right? So then you're like, "Oh, fuck. Well, they're fucked now. Well, like, there's no way out of this. This is going to be one of those kind of scary endings where they're like, time to put you in the bone stripper." And you're like, "Oh, no." But then the fucking ground just starts erupting, and then the Dan Aykroyd's character is like, "It's the coal fires! They're breaking through! Everybody run for your lives!" And then they fucking everything starts exploding, and they just have to escape. And then that's kind of it, because
that's it.
Well, because you just have like they escape, and then you see them like a small time jump where they're in an apartment together, and he's just like having a fucking nightmare where he's sat on the he's like lying on the sofa, and he does that thing which it must be a thing that Chevy Chase just does in everything where he just makes like loads of weird noises. Thankfully this time not racist, but makes a bunch of weird noises, and then he starts barking like a dog.
Yeah, yeah, he does
It's just, and then like he's like, "Oh, I was having a nightmare," and it's like, "Oh, okay." And then the very, very end, he's done that. He's watching the TV. They're talking about the fires that happened. They go and speak to a resident, which is covered in a shawl, who turns out to be the fucking judge. And he's like, oh, well, it's all fucked here, so we're going to have to move out. But I'll tell you what, we're going to move into... yeah, he says, my son-in-law's. Because technically, at one point in this film, technically... Chevy Chase then gets married to the granddaughter,
but
which is just such a insane thing.
Yeah, but he didn't fucking sign anything.
Yeah, or, that's like, true. Yeah, like, that's true.
He was held like it was a. It was literally held, a shotgun wedding.
Yeah.
He could just be like, "Hey, this fucking creep is coming to my house." Like the police his fucking. I'm in New York now, not fucking in a swamp.
Well, that's what you don't know. The police are in his pocket too.
Oh, God.
It's so fucking weird. Because at the end, he just goes... It's like he didn't know how to finish the movie. So he was let's just go weird with it. On top of all of the weirdness already. So then he's just like, and I'm staying at my... We're all going to be staying at my son-in-law's house. And then... Chevy Chase falls over the back of the sofa and he's like, no, fuck that.
Yeah.
And then it just cuts to a Chevy Chase shaped hole in the wall in like a running man position. And you hear like a bump and a crash and like a fucking cartoon, like, whip.
Yeah.
Bling, bling, bling. Or something. And then it's just like, ba-da-da, and it ends. And I was like, bro,
what the fuck was that? fucking
God. I feel like I was put on the bone stripper. You know what I mean? That fucking roller coaster ride and just minced up. Like, what the actual fuck?
Oh, Christ. It was good. It was so good. Just joking. Bad film, good?
Bad film, good. I had a fucking great time watching this. I thought it was fucking insane. I loved the fact that everything was all practical. It had that feeling to it of like just something weird and wacky and I don't know. The practical effects just gave it a something that just made it feel weird and crazy enough that I sort of enjoyed it, I think. And they just don't explain like a million things, like the penis nose and shit.
Yeah,
and it's just the fact that those people, the Brazilians, the Brazilianaires, and the fucking bodyguard guy, they just leave.
Off. I'm just they're like, not in it.
You never know what's going to happen in this movie. So yeah, bad film, good.
I'm going to say bad film, not good. Because it was fucking wild. It was so out of pocket. But it was too much for me. I was just like, what? Like, what the fuck? But I don't know. Maybe that's harsh. I just don't know. It's so fucking weird. It's such a strange film.
It's so fucking weird, dude.
It's such a fever dream.
Oh, I heard it. I heard the bell. I thought it wasn't going to happen, but I heard the bell. Aiden, why don't you tell everybody what it is that you're having for dinner today?
Some lamb thing.
Some lamb thing. All right.
Yeah.
Very nice. At least it's not fucking hot dogs after the film we just watched.
No, I want hot dogs. I want to.
They were so fucking gross. They were like proper, like big, fucking U-bending.
They were like they looked like uncooked bratwurst that were kept in slime for a bit.
No, but they looked like bratwurst that had been like infected with a zombie virus and died, even though they weren't living because they were just grey, like grey and mush, and they had like they're like just kind of roughly done, so all the fucking stringy bits of the skin is just flopping off everywhere. Yeah. Oh, Christ.
But that's about everything that we got for this week. Next week, I think we're going to do Expend 4 Balls.
Yes. expend four of those balls. Is it actually out? So I'm pretty sure that Ricer was looking at the cinema for this weekend just gone, and for literally this midweek, I think Tuesday, something like that, and said that it was listed.
That's it.
Let me have a little looky see.
It says the 22nd of September.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So we got The Equalizer 3, Barbie's still going strong. Oppenheimer, Meg 2. That's all that's on today. Surely not. Was she looking like further ahead, maybe? It looks like it's not on, so I feel like maybe mistakes were made.
Yeah, I thought it was later. Okay, well, next week then we're going to do Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
Go, let's go, baby, Scooby-Doo.
And if you want to catch Elemental, then that is on the Super Saver in the morning. I'm not going to tell you which cinema. maybe at yours, who knows?
It's apparently
had a massive resurgence, and it's
what, Elemental? Oh, has it really?
Yeah, have you not seen this?
No, what,
dude? It was like a flop over here.
Yeah,
it blew up. It isn't. It's like surpassed. Yeah, it's now as of 5th of September, worldwide gross of 480 million.
What?
Yep, it had a massive, massive resurgence.
Oh my god, yeah, they're showing it again at my local cinema. Just like showing it from not today or tomorrow, but from Saturday, they're just showing it back on.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Why? Is it good?
Well, apparently it is quite good from what I've heard. I've not heard bad things about it.
But it looks like the most generic, fucking
just Pixar kind of
Pixar,
like yeah. What if elements had feelings?
Yeah, yeah.
But apparently it has just, I don't know what to search to like, yeah, no, it is literally, it is. So I think that Pixar have been doing pretty badly for a long time.
I like, thought they were Lightyear gonna go bankrupt.
Yeah, Lightyear and stuff was literally, it flopped. Like, they've not turned a profit since like The Incredibles 2 or something.
Oh my
God. Somewhere around there. So, but apparently with Elemental, what does it say here? Basically, I think once it went to the wider sort of worldwide audience, but it just had this like massive resurgence and just blew up.
That's fucking wild. Oh, I can see a breakdown. So domestically,
domestic was like 153.7 million in the US and Canada, and then like more than double that. Kind of outside of that, then
South Korea is like, it got 54 million in South Korea alone, which is crazy.
Yeah,
like if you're comparing that to like USA domestically, will always be the biggest.
Yeah, because it surpassed Across the Spider-Verse for its international box office total.
What? That's fucked. That's so
fucking crazy.
France, Mexico, everyone's loving it. That's
I don't know why.
That's just,
it's just
so
really
weird.
Interesting.
It's made $200,000 in Iceland. There's about three people in Iceland. That's mad.
Yeah. I'd say Iceland's probably shut by now, isn't it? It's a bit late. For those who don't know, for those who don't.
I'll leave it with that. Thank you. Thanks for listening, everyone.
we got
to do it.
But yeah, do your thing.
If you're still here, then thanks for listening. Next week we do Scooby-Doo. If you want to help us out the show, give us a 5-star review. If you want to find us on the socials, we're on X and Twitter and Elon Musk's own email inbox. Anything related to Elon
things.
Musk, we'll be on.
No,
so
I don't want to be anywhere near that Musk.
Musky man.
Gross.
Musk rat. But yeah, as always, we'll leave you with... No, hang on.
Oh, no, you had such a good streak.
I know. I did it like twice in a row. AI Wars. it's where we pit Inspirobot, which is a random quote with a random image, against Image Flip, which is a random meme with random text on it, against each other. Deegs is for Inspirobot. I'm for Image Flip. We both think ours is funnier than the other one. It's currently 13 all.
Yeah, first time that we've been
Image Flip
drawing.
Fucking pulled it back after I took away the
scraped it back
with that not safe for work filter. I went first last week, so it's your turn to go first.
Sure. Okay, well, I think we might have seen this image before, possibly. You've got a field that's looks like it's just been sort of, it's just been kind of done over. It's a fresh, nice field, ready for the start of the new season, ready for all those nice little seeds to grow. You've got a nice kind of fence that's kind of going off to the side, going around to mark this land. And you've got a classic farmer boy standing next to one of the poles, one of the wooden poles of this fence, with a hand resting on top of it, looking across his land as if to say, you know, this is the sweat of my own brow. And he's shirtless also. And he's like, you know, this is me. I did this. And it says, the big difference between success and a horse is that a horse kills.
Oh, shit. That's very relevant to me, because I maintain that, and I've had this argument with different people, and everyone tells me the same thing, but I disagree. Everyone seems to think that horses are less dangerous than cows. But I maintain a cow is no... A horse is... They're jittery. They'll fuck you up, man. You look at a horse and they do a backflip and kick you in the face. Cows just eating grass. Cows just eating grass. But people are like, no, I'd much rather walk in a field of horses than a field of cows. Cows are so scary and don't trust a cow. They're just vibing, man. What the fuck are you talking about? Anyway, yeah. Don't get me started. What are we doing? Oh, yeah.
Your one.
my one. All right, mine is the SpongeBob, like, mocking SpongeBob. You know, where it's the meme of, like, they, like, change the letters from capital to... It's like...
Oh, yeah. Where he's doing the chicken.
And it just says, shitting on the couch.
Stupid. That's it.
Shitting on the couch.
Well, Aiden, you know what? I was a little bit scared when I first read mine out, but...
Yours was a bit shit.
But yours was shit.
Mine was way worse. I did say, pre-recording, I didn't have one, and I said I was going to try and find one as we were recording. And through the course of this recording, I've been scouring, and they've been fucking terrible.
Damn.
That's the cream of the crop. Yeah. So you deserve that one. Jesus.
Yeah, seems like the horse did kill. Your point. I was afraid I'd start getting behind, but...
Nah, you're all good.
That's 14-13, baby.
Yeah, for now.
Yes. That's about everything we have, I think.
Yep. We need a better way. We need to work out a better way to end these.
Nah.
Mousetrapper! Thanks for listening! We'll be here next week with Scooby-Doo!
Christ, it's just cutting out on Discord for me.
Scooby-Doo, next week on Bad Film Good. Thanks for listening.
Bone Stripper.
There we go.
That's it. Bye.